rise and shine. And if you turn to Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2, we'll get started. Arise and shine. Isaiah 60, 1 and 2, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you for just this amazing opportunity that you've given me to preach. Lord God, I pray that you speak to me, Lord God, speak through me, Lord God. Anoint this house, my God, every person in this place, my God, and just be with us as we take in your word, my God. Just allow us to consume it, my God, that it consumes us, that we're just overtaken by your word, my God, and that we don't leave the same, my God. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to start off with a little article that I found, and it's called, "What is a Self-Made Man?" What is a self-made man? Although typically associated with the rags-to-riches story, a self-made man is anyone who attains far greater success than his original circumstances would have indicated was possible. The self-made man has often overcome great obstacles to achieve his goals. Self-made men attain their success through education, hard work, and sheer willpower. While no man is an island, it is not external help or special relationships that make the crucial difference in the self-made man's rise. Nor is luck the deciding factor. Society loves the story of a man whose success came to him largely by chance, from an opportunity dropped from the sky. Such stories allow unsuccessful men to excuse their failures as due achievements up to chance. Such stories allow unsuccessful men to excuse their failure as due to unavoidable bad luck and demerit the success of others by chalking their achievements up to chance. Sadly, too many men today believe that lounging on the shore, waiting for their ship to come in, constitutes the best pathway to reaching their goals. Instead, self-made men throughout history have made their own way in life by reaching deep inside themselves and through willpower and elbow grease, creating their own destiny. While there are always many factors to success, all are subordinate to work, which is the great key to success. Now, I speak about a self-made man because, don't get me wrong, all glory to God. All glory to God who I am today. But it takes us to step into that. If we don't change ourselves, if we never arise, if we don't get, that's the first word of this chapter is arise. We have to do that. That's up to us. Once we do that, once we arise, then God can shine. But it's up to us to make that first move, to get out of whatever it is. If you're in a funk, if you're living a life of sin, if you're the pastor of the church, we still are to arise and shine. There's not a place to where we plateau, to where it's, I'm good, you know. God is almighty. He's so huge. He created this earth. And I think that the space, the heavens, all that stuff, the universe, all these universes out there, I think God created that to show us just how big he is. He's eternal. He's everything. He created everything. So with that, we can't get to the end of space. So how is it that we can get to a place that we receive and we're there with God? It's never going to get there. But it's up to us, wherever we are in our walk, to arise and shine. Get up, man. It's up to us. God has called us to arise and shine. We can't just kick back and allow something to happen. You know, nothing's going to happen like that. Like that article that I read to you, some people just wait for it to fall in our laps. You know, I've changed. I'm praying. I'm asking God. That's not what it's about. It's not about asking God. You can pray your little heart out all you want, but until you arise and do something about it, nothing's going to change. You're going to be the same person. It's up to us. So arise, I got the definition of it. Arise is a verb. And arise means to emerge, become apparent, to get up or stand up. Synonyms of arise are come to light, become apparent, appear, emerge, crop up, turn up. That's my favorite one. Surface, and spring up. So it's time, you know what I'm saying? Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing in life, You look at the world, and I remember how I was in the world. I was always wanting to be live and turned up. You know what I'm saying? Well, I need to be that same guy when I'm a Christian. Becoming a Christian isn't boring, and you don't have to calm your life down and, well, I'm different now, and brother, I'm different. I'm not that man anymore. Heck no, I'm still me. I'm still Stephen. You know what I'm saying? I'm still going to rise. I'm going to turn it up wherever I'm at. You know what I'm saying? So praise God. It's our choice in who we become in Christ. It's up to us what we want to do and who we want to become. God moves when we move. We can be like the people in the Bible. The Bible talks about great men and women who did great things in the Bible, and we can be those people. Some people are like, well, no, that's Paul, you know, that's Paul, you know. We can be just like that. It's up to us what we attain in our spiritual life. We can be just a regular Wednesday, Sunday night churchgoer. That's fine, you know. But who do you want to be? I'm one of those guys that I'm not content with that. I'm not okay with just going to church on Sunday and then doing whatever the rest of the time. I'm going to go and get all that I can get. I want all that I can. I did it in my old life, and I want to do it here. So it's up to us who we want to be. It's time for us to turn up for Jesus. God is God. I should have called it turn up. Oh, my message. Turn up. It's time to turn up. Message. So God is God. He has always been God, and he's always going to be God. God is who he is. He has a character. If you read the Bible, it speaks of God's character and who he is. God doesn't change. In Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Revelation 1:8, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. So if God is the same and never changes, what does that mean? What does that mean? That means that we have to change. God's not going to change. God's not just going to all of a sudden do something that's out of his character. Right. We're people. We're humans. We do stuff like that. God doesn't. We can't just expect him to do something that he's never done before. That's where it comes on us. We have to do something that we've never done before. God's the same, and he's waiting. It says that he searches to and fro for the people who are loyal to him. He's waiting. He's looking. He's hoping that somebody's going to rise up, that somebody's going to step into their calling. So it's up to us whatever we want to do for God. We were created for God. We were created in his image. We were created perfect human beings. We were created to have a relationship with God, to walk and talk with God, to live with God, to be with him. It says that God used to come and talk to Adam and Eve. You know, whenever they were trying to hide themselves, it says that he came walking in the garden like, where are y'all at? God made us to be those kind of people with him. And it's still that same way. God still wants that from us. He still desires us to have that same relationship with us. But Adam and Eve, they changed. God said, this is who you are. This is what I need you to do. They're the ones that chose to eat from the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. They're the ones that changed. So when they allowed sin into their life, it changed all of us. The Bible says that because of Adam, we're born into sin. That's something that we can't, there's no getting around that. There's no way around that. We're born into sin. So because Adam and Eve changed, we ourselves, because being born into sin, the Bible says that sin separates us from God. So if sin separates us from God and we're trying to get back to our original form, we've got to go back to the way things were in the Bible. We've got to have that straight communion with God. We've got to have that relationship that where we talk to him every day, where we get up in the morning, and he knows. He knows when we did something stupid, you know? He knows, and we know too, like, man, I'm sorry, you know? I put on leaves because I knew I was naked, you know? Same thing with us. We need to be those people like, man, I messed up, God, you know? We need to be people that want to take it back to its original form. We need to get up and do something about our lives, no matter where you're at. I'm not calling you guys sinners or saying that where you're at, you need to do something about it. I'm saying all of us, wherever we're at, we need to arise and get better and do things better than what we have in the past. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Sounds pretty harsh, huh? So James, he's not like, cleanse your hands, you sinners. No, what he's saying is cleanse your hands. If you're a sinner, cleanse your hands. If you're double-minded, change that about yourself. draw near to God. So when we draw near to God, He draws near to us. We have to get rid of those old things, our old ways, whatever it is. Anywhere in your life, you're not perfect. We're never going to be perfected until the day that we go to heaven. And so often we get focused on me. I came to the home originally. I wanted to draw closer to God, but my problem was I was a drug addict. That was my problem. And we, whatever your problem is, whatever it is that you want to change, what we tend to do is we tend to focus on that. So I need to stop getting high. That's my focus. I need to stop getting high. I need to stop changing these things in my life. But that's not it. What we need to focus on is drawing close to God. That's what our main focus needs to be. The Bible says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything will be given unto you. It's the same thing when we, it's the same thing spiritually. That's talking about physical things, your needs, the things that you need. God will give everything to you, but it's the same thing spiritually. We have to seek Him first and the kingdom of God, and all these other things will start happening. He'll start emptying us of the things that we want to get rid of, and He'll start pouring into us. You got to break something down before you want to build it up. Yes. Something has to be emptied before you want to fill it up with something else. If you got a glass full of water and you want to put soda in it, you got to get rid of the water and then put the soda in it. You can't mix it together. It's not going to work out. So when we start drawing close to God, He'll start drawing near to us, and that's when you'll see the change in your life. That's when you see things happening. Don't focus on what your problem is or what it is that you're trying to do. Focus on God, and those other things will come. John chapter 16, verses 12-13. It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. So verse 12, it says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. That's what Jesus was telling His disciples after following Him for 3 years. He told His disciples that there's more stuff that I need to tell you, but you can't bear it now. So with that being said, what that means is we have to get to a place to where we can bear those things. And the only way that we're going to get there is by changing. Change has to come in our life wherever we at. We got to draw closer to God. We need to be, I want to be in that place. There's some certain things that I just can't bear right now. If God was just to pour all His gifts out on me, I'd be like, you know, I might puff up with pride. Like, look at me. Look what I've done. Or who knows what. You know what I'm saying? I'm human. Those things happen. And God will put you in different places slowly. It's taken me a long time to get into where I'm at today. It's taken me a long time. If this would have happened a year ago, I wouldn't know how to handle it. I honestly wouldn't know how to handle it. But God knows what He's doing. He knows the process that He puts us through. We have to appreciate the process. The process is horrible sometimes. Just honestly. You know, the process is rough. And with me, I had a process. Pastor used to laugh at me and be like, dude, you're like Joseph. I had a process like that to where it was just so hard. I knew I wanted God. But I'm also a backslider. So when you backslide and you come back to God, it's not just like, okay, God, here I am. Let's do this. God makes you prove yourself to Him. In my case, anyways, I had to prove myself to God. And I've had to go through many trials, many different things. And you know what? I'm still standing. I've fallen. There's been things that have come my way that have made me fall, that have made me stumble. But you know what? I got right back up. There's nothing that can keep us down. Nothing that can keep us down. We're men and women of God. Whatever you're doing, nothing can hold you down. We just got to get back up and keep going for it. Arise, man. Shine. Let God shine through you. Verse 13 of that. Chapter 16 in John says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Which brings me to my next point. In order for change, in order for these things to happen, in order for us to grow closer to God, we have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must be in our lives. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2, the opening scripture, at the beginning of verse 2, it says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." So if that's what's going to happen to the earth, if that's what happens to the people on the earth, we got to be different from that. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, there's nothing that separates us. We're just a man who believes in God, but that doesn't mean enough. We need more than that. Yes. We need more than just, I go to church. You know, the Bible says that even the demons believe and they tremble. So it's not enough to just say, oh, I believe in God. You know, we have to really seek God, and the change will come in our life. The Holy Spirit will move in our lives. The Holy Spirit will teach us everything that we need to know. It'll speak to us. It'll convict us. It'll guide us. Everything that we need. You know, there are certain times when I'll just have a straight prayer to the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, I didn't know if I was stepping over bounds or if I'm only supposed to be praying to God, or, you know what I'm saying? But the three are one. And there's times when I'll just pray wholly to the Holy Spirit. Just solely to the Holy Spirit. I'll just pray to the, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, thank you. And you'd be surprised what it does inside of you. You feel that Holy Spirit rise up, you know, because the Holy Spirit does so much for us. The three are one, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We must acknowledge all of them. In the book of Acts, it says that the Holy Spirit is longing for communion with us. The Holy Spirit wants to talk to us. So if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're unplugged. We're unplugged. That's straight up. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and verse 22 says, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." So that's our guarantee that we are God's. He seals us. He puts a stamp on us, saying, "This is mine. This is my child. He's different. He's not the deep darkness of the rest of the world. He's different." That's what separates us. It's a guarantee that we're a child of God. You know, it's a stamp. It's like when you go and get something notarized. It's this has been done officially. It's something that's, it's not just this person's say so or somebody's word, you know. It's notarized by the law. It's the same thing with God. He puts a stamp on us, notarizing us, if for lack of words, you know what I'm saying? That we are his, that we belong to him. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So, excuse me for a second, but I'm going to go testimony mode on y'all. So, back in the day, I hadn't always been saved. Like I said, I haven't always been saved, and I'm not going to pretend to be. I'm not going to pretend to be some guy who doesn't know anything bad. I wasn't a good guy, you know. I wasn't this great person. Man, that's why it does so much for me to be up here. God saw me fit, you know. God saw me fit to be up here, and that's so awesome, you know. And every one of us in here, every one of us, God sees you fit. Yes. No matter how people see you, no matter how people have treated you in the past, or how your family talks about, you'll never change. That might be how people see us, but God doesn't see us like that. He sees us as his children, and he's just waiting for that day. The Bible says the story of the prodigal son, that he's waiting, that when he went running, when the prodigal son went back, he just had his arms wide open and hugged him and welcomed him back and threw a big old party. That's what God does. He's not mad at any of us. He's not mad at y'all. He's not mad at me. Praise God. He wants me to do better. But he's not mad at us. He sees us as the person he created me to be. I would have never in my life ever been, you know what, I'm going to preach one day. I'm going to be up on a pulpit in Tacoma, Washington. I would have never thought that, but God knew that. And that's how he saw me. He saw me as a man who was going to preach the word of God in front of a congregation. So, back to the testimony. So, back in the day, I had a friend who I called the plug. Some of you might know who I'm talking about. Johnny Sockets, that's what I called him. He was the plug. He was my plug. So the plug was my power source, right? Without the plug, I wasn't no good. I didn't have what I needed. If the plug was cut off for some reason, then I was cut off. And those of you who may know, when you're cut off, you're hurting. You don't look good. You're just getting sick. You know what I'm saying? You can't function right. It's just, you're unplugged. You're not, you don't have that direct access. And that's the best way my mind, my past experiences can connect us to the Holy Spirit. If we don't have that straight plug to the Holy Spirit, if we don't have, it's like the Holy Spirit is what ties us into God. If we don't have that direct tie into God, then we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You can walk and lean on your own understanding all day. All day, as long as you want to. You can do that for as long as you want to. But whenever we seek God, we need to grab a hold of the Holy Spirit. Yes. If you don't feel the Holy Spirit, it's not a feeling that you feel all the time, but if you have never felt it, that's something that you need to seek out. It's something that you need to pray. Pray for that. The Bible says that we have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. And that's how we get plugged in. Because if not, we're doing the same thing. We're walking around all fleshly. We're walking around with a bad attitude and a bad mood. Same thing, you know what I'm saying? If you don't have that plug, if you're not plugged in, you're doing stuff on your own understanding and it doesn't have the power of God in it. So we as people who are seeking God, we shouldn't go and do the work of God. Now hear me out. We should not go and do the work of God. None of us. We shouldn't go and do the work of God. What we need to do is we need to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit that God does His work through us. Come on, that's good. We can't be people who it's, you know, I've caught myself lately. I'm a busy man. I'm a very busy man. I have a lot of things going on in my life. And I catch myself running a home. That's not what I'm here for. I'm not here to run a home. I'm here to seek after God. And if I'm not seeking after God while I'm running a Christian recovery home, you might as well take the Christian out of it. That's what we got to do. We have to seek God all the time, constantly, consistently. And I kind of got, not kind of, I really got convicted during this time because Pastor always tells me, if you don't have time, take time. Take the time that you need to do what you have to do. Oh, okay, Pastor, I will, you know. No disrespect. I don't mean that disrespectful at all. But you know what I'm saying. It's like, finally I get home 10, 11 o'clock at night after I've been out since 8 in the morning. And it's like, bro, I don't want to read my Bible. I'll read anything but my Bible. I don't want to pray. Honestly, I'm going to be honest and I'll keep it real with you. There's sometimes when I'm like that. It's not that I want to go and do sinful things, but I just don't feel like reading the Bible. You know, I've been at it all day, Lord. And then Pastor tells me, hey, you're going to preach on Wednesday. So I couldn't just do that, you know. I couldn't just push it to the side. I had to do what he told me to do and take time. I've been staying up late at night when everybody's asleep. That's the only time in the men's home. Those of you who've been in the men's home know what I'm talking about. You can't get a moment of quiet time in the house. You can't. It's not possible. You know what I'm saying? Even when you're in the restroom, you got somebody knocking on the door. Hey, hurry up, you know? So I've been staying up late at night. I've been taking that time. I've been taking it. I'll go in the office and I'll have to do something, get on the internet, get on my email, do something. I'll have to make a phone call. I'll put everything down for a second and get to typing for a little bit. Get to researching, getting to putting my message together. I don't even know where I was trying to go with that, but we have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. We have to do these things. We have to be in touch with God in order to do godly things. Yes. And so if I'm running a Christian recovery home, I have to be in tune with God to be able to do that. If not, it's a halfway house. There's nothing godly about it. On the day of Pentecost, Peter, the other 11, and some other people received the Holy Spirit in the second chapter of Acts. And Peter is the same man who was afraid of ridicule. He's the same man who was afraid of ridicule. And when he received the power of the Holy Spirit, he gave one of the best speeches of all time. Forget of the Bible, of all time ever in the history of the world. He gave one of the best speeches ever. In Acts chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Others mocking said, 'They are full of new wine.' But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to the men, and said to them, 'Men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words.'" Bless you. Which brings me to my last point. We've got to step out and do things that we've never done before. So Peter, if you remember the story when Jesus got arrested, Peter was following at a distance, right behind him, right? And then they take Jesus in, and Peter's outside trying to keep himself warm by the fire. And they say, aren't you that guy who hangs out with Jesus? Aren't you one of his disciples? He's like, you know? And they knew of his other disciples, but they weren't worried about arresting them. Peter just didn't want to be ridiculed. He didn't want to be spoken bad of. So they asked him again, "You're that guy. We know you." "No, that's not me." So the third time when he cussed at him, you know, he couldn't, you know, "Get off me. Leave me alone. No, I'm not him," you know, and cursed at him. That's the same man that when people, thousands of people standing in front of him said, "Man, these guys are just drunk." That's the same man who stepped up. It says that he raised his voice and spoke to everybody. Because of that speech that he gave, 3,000 people were saved that day. And we don't know the plans that God has for us. We don't know the things that he's going to use us for. I don't think Peter received the power of the Holy Spirit and was like, "Ooh, I'm about to save 3,000 people." You know, I don't think he was like, "Yeah, let's go. Come on, guys, we're about to go save 3,000 people." But what Peter did, when he was confronted, he allowed the power of the Holy Spirit. He heeded to what the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's not a voice to me anyways. When the Holy Spirit speaks to me, it's like a do that, you know, like a, best way I can explain it is like when you get in a fight, you know, when you get in a fight and you know it's about to go down, man, you're just like, "Dang, this is about to happen." And something inside of you kind of like, you know, that's kind of how it is when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, to me anyways. I'll be walking down the street and I'll see somebody look the other way and all of a sudden that feeling will come, like, "Man, I got to go talk to this person." You know, and it's important to us to heed to that, take heed to that. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, we got to take heed to that. What would have happened if Peter would have just been like, "Man, they probably are drunk," you know? What would have happened? These people wouldn't have been saved. These people could. The main thing that we have to realize in Christianity is that this is a matter of not only life and death, but eternal life or eternal death. And us stepping into our power spot, us doing what God has called us to do, can be the reason that one person gets saved or one person dies and goes to hell. That lies on us, you know? And it's nothing to be afraid of, but it's something to let that be important to you. Know that God wants to use you. He'll use anybody he can. He'll use anybody he can. Anybody who is willing to be that man, that woman, that person, God will use them. You know, I was really nervous about getting up here. Really nervous. Honestly, I even told Pastor, I'm not ready. You know, I was supposed to do this a week or two ago. I said, Pastor, I can't do it. I'm not ready. I wasn't ready. I got nervous. I got freaked out. You know, honestly, these I'm human, you know. I got freaked out. I was scared. I was nervous. You want me to go, dang, really? Okay. So part of me didn't want to do it. But the other part of me was on fire. The other part of me was like, what? You know what I'm saying? I get to preach in front of the congregation at the church. Like, that's cool. That's awesome. You know what I'm saying? That's awesome. And you know what? Truthfully, if I don't do it, it's not going to be that nobody else is going to do it. Somebody else will do it. Somebody else will do it. But you know what? I want to do it. I don't want somebody else up here preaching. You know what I'm saying? When it's my turn, I want to preach. If that's where God's called me to do, if that's what he's called me to do, then I want to do it. You know? I don't want to be that guy that is mediocre. Oh, I'm cool. I run the men's home. That's enough. You know, I'm good. I'm cool right there. That's, you know, don't take it too far, Pastor. You know, I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that, what's next? What else can I do? What more can I do? And it takes us to arise and shine. In the second part of that verse in Isaiah 60, verse 2, the second part of it says, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. So it's all about stepping out. It's all about stepping out. God will arise over us. He'll arise over us, speak to us. He'll use the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And he'll use the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And if we step out in faith, his glory will be seen upon us. So we've all got areas in our life that we need to change. All of us, no matter where you're at. We can always do more. It's a constant arise and shine. Like the world says it, rise and shine. Well, Jesus is telling us that every day. Arise and shine. Let us get up and do something. Nothing's going to happen by us just sitting in the pews and going home. You know? Change begins small. Nobody's asking you to come and take over a church next week. It starts small. It takes us a while to get to where God has called us. I'm not in my final calling yet, but I'm in my calling for right now. This is what God wants me doing now. He wants me, like Pastor was saying, I came to him and I told him, I can't go anywhere, Pastor. Honestly, God started pulling at my heart and speaking to me. What about the home? What about the men in the home? You're just going to up and leave? And it wasn't a guilt trip. It wasn't something like that, but it was like, this is where I want you type thing. This is where you need to be. You want to do what I've called you to do? Stay here. Because I've got a plan and a purpose for you here. Being in the men's home isn't the funnest thing in the world. It's hard. It's very hard. It's a very hard thing. But you know what? It's a necessary step for a knucklehead like me to get to where God wants me to go. So it's up to us to step out. And when we step out, you've got to continue in it. You know, I've got up here and preached one time before. but that's not enough. Getting up here and preaching once isn't enough. Getting up here and preaching twice isn't enough. I've got to continue to step out. God's going to continue to ask me to do things that are uncomfortable. And it's up to me whether I want to stay stagnant. I can still be saved. Don't get me wrong. I can still be saved. That's not good enough for me. This world, where it's at right now, in my lifetime, is the worst it's ever been. This world is a crazy place. And we can be people who can really make a difference in the world. We can be those people that we help people. You know, you get up, you arise, you shine. If we carry the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Lord with us, you know, a simple handshake and a smile to somebody at the corner store goes a long way. So let us be people who are constantly doing something like that. Wherever it is that you're not comfortable stepping out. I could have never done this before. Got up in front of people and preached. And when I begin, when I first get up here, when I first got up here after Pastor introduced me, I'm like shaking. You know what I'm saying? Super nervous. But I step into it. And I allow the Holy Spirit to start moving, to start speaking to me. And I expect that. I come to church expecting that. God, I'm going to get up here and I can't preach without you. And even if I could, I don't want to. I don't want to preach on my own. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to move me. I want God to guide me, to show me what it is that He has for me. So I just want to open up these altars and I just want to challenge you guys. If everybody will stand up. And I just want to open the altars and just take that first step. Take that first step and allow God to move in your life. Allow yourself. It's up to us. It's up to us what we do. It's up to us if we allow God to move in our lives. So I just encourage you to take that first step. Speak to God. Let God speak to you. Let Him show you what it is that He has in store for you. And let Him begin to have His way in your life.